Right, good morning, everyone. Can I invite you to stand? So in case you didn't know, this weekend is Worship Emphasis Weekend. And if it's your first time joining us for Worship Emphasis Weekend, let me share with you how things are going to go, okay? So we're going to have a very short sermon. We have an extended time of worship. And the whole intention of it is to create space for everyone to have an encounter with God, to spend time with God. So you'll find that a lot of the songs that we do, there's going to be a lot of musical space, you know, where there's no singing. And it's really those times where you can say a prayer for yourself and have a conversation with God. I don't know for you guys, you know, if you haven't been into the presence of God, those are really the opportunities. So come with an open heart and say, God, I'm here to meet with you. For those of us who, you know, it's been a long time since you've been in God's presence, I want to encourage you this time, step into His presence, you know, step into enjoying being in His presence, because He's going to be here with us, right? And so let's just welcome the Lord with a clap offering and say, Lord, we welcome you here today. May God, we're here for you. Bless you, Lord. Amen. God, at all times we will bless you and your praise will be in our lips, Lord. In all circumstances, at all moments, God, we praise you, we bless you, God. Our level of praise is not dependent on what you have done or what we see that's happening around us. It is not a reaction to what is happening around us. But it is by faith, God, that we choose to praise you at all times. We will bless you, God, in all circumstances, God. And so, God, as we move in to a time of worship, going into your throne room, Father, I pray that as we sing this next song, it will be like a prayer. Indeed, that we will lay down our burdens, our lies, the doubts that we may have believed in. And God, just to come into your presence, surrendering, giving you space to move, Lord. So we thank you, God. Amen.
Shake up the ground of all my traditions. Break down.
Inviting us to surrender our fears, the thoughts on our minds, the worries, the concerns, even our successes, the things that take us away from worshiping Him, the things that hinder us from coming into His presence, from seeing Him for who He really is. I just sense the Spirit just inviting us to come and lay them at His feet and surrender them. Space to move. So come and touch your people. God, we know that we need you more than anything. Just come. And more than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heart. More than
the song I sing, more than the next heart.
Thank you, Lord. Indeed, we need you more than we ever think we do, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you, the creator of the universe, thought of us. And before we could even utter our need, Lord, you draw near to us. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy poured out extravagantly upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for loving us. And thank you for drawing us near to yourself. And Lord, this morning as we come into your presence, Father, we ask that you will fill our hearts with gratitude. Fill our hearts with love for you, O God. That as we respond to you, Father, may it always be out of that love that we have for you, O God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, I want to give us some time before we take the Holy Communion as a church family to have that personal time you have with the Lord to just give thanks to God on your own and just talk to God in your own ways. Let's prepare our hearts, and I'd like to invite Elder James to come and share God's word with us. Let's warmly welcome him.
Thank you, Pastor Ruth. Right, good morning, church, and a very good morning to all those of you tuning in from home as well. As you have heard from James this morning, today, this weekend is Worship Emphasis Weekend. For those of you unfamiliar, it is an annual event where instead of the usual order of service, we will have an extended time of worship. Now, of course, just now that segment of worship didn't feel extended at all, right? That's because it's not over yet, right? We're not quite switching into a sermon mode right now, and I've also not prepared a full sermon, but instead I have prepared a short message, and my intention really is to bring into focus the context of what we are doing this morning. The theme for our worship weekend this year is the presence of the Lord. And very often, you'll hear worship leaders on stage saying or using phrases like this, isn't it? Let's welcome God's presence. Let's usher in God's presence. Let's enter into God's presence. We also hear words like, we can sense the presence of the Lord. But have you ever thought to yourself or asked yourself, what exactly is the presence of the Lord? Is it just a feeling? Is it just a sensation? Why do we say that we enter into God's presence, but yet at the same time, we also say we are ushering in God's presence? Doesn't those two ideas contradict themselves? Why do you need to usher in God's presence if God's presence is already there for you to enter into, isn't it? Now, in order to understand what it means to be in the presence of the Lord, there are two important aspects of God's presence that we need to know. And that is what I'm going to share with you this morning. These two important aspects of God's presence, firstly, is what we call and what theologians refer to as the transcendent presence of God. I know it's a big word, but can I just have a wave of hands? How many of you here understand the word transcendent? All right, I see a few hands. Yesterday at youth service, it was just a blank stare across. You know, wow, transcendent, such a big word. Well, it sounds big, but actually, it is not difficult to understand. Our God is transcendent. What does that mean? It means that God is supreme. God is infinite. God exists outside of His creation, outside of this universe. God is incomprehensible to human understanding. God is this great being whose greatness we cannot even begin to grasp with our human minds. That's who God is. That's how big He is. He is bigger than we can ever imagine. That's what it means when we say God is transcendent. I'm going to read for you a verse from Isaiah 55. Or rather, two verses, 8 and 9. And it's not going to be on screen, so you need to pay attention. And of course, I'll go slower. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can never understand how God thinks and how God acts, because God is sovereign, God is transcendent. I'm going to read for you another verse. This time around is from 1 Kings chapter 8, and it is from the prayer that King Solomon made when he dedicated the temple that he built for the Lord. And this is what King Solomon said. He says, "Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you." Even the highest heaven cannot contain God. That is who God is. He is sovereign. He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords. So God is beyond our understanding. His grandeur, the splendor of His presence is something that we can never fully understand and comprehend. His divine nature is something that will be incomprehensible to the human mind. So that's the transcendent presence of the Lord. We have to remember that we're coming into the presence of a supreme being that is way above what we can imagine. Now, the second aspect of God's presence is this, that while God is transcendent, He is also, second big word coming up, immanent. I know some of you may already begin to associate the word immanent with Jesus' name, Emmanuel. And if you are doing so, you are absolutely right. And what does Emmanuel mean? Can someone shout it out? God with us. God with us. So that's the second important aspect of God's presence. It is His immanent presence. Although God exists beyond His creation, although He exists beyond our universe, He is intimately present at the same time. He is closely engaged with His creation at the same time. Our God desires relationship with His creation. He wants to have intimate fellowship with you and I, daily even. And God is always near us. So now we have this concept of God as the transcendent God and God as the immanent God. And these two concepts contains within itself both tension and harmony. There is tension because on one hand, we say that God is incomprehensible, beyond our understanding. But at the same time, God wants us to know Him. Do you see the tension right now? How to know a being that cannot be understood in the first place? But at the same time, there's harmony. There's harmony because even though God is transcendent, He wants us to draw near to Him. In fact, He wants to draw near to us. Our God, transcendent as He may be, is not distant. He's not far away, unmoving, uncaring, cold, and unassociated. That's not who our God is. Instead, God is our loving Father who seeks out His sons and daughters, and that's you and I. If I were to give you a picture of this harmony between our transcendent God and His immanent presence, it would be this. You see, in the Bible, we read about Jesus. Remember the story where He was on the boat with His disciples and the storm was raging? And of course, the disciples panicked and they woke Him up. And what did Jesus do? Immediately, Jesus was able to calm the storm, isn't it? He was able to order the wind to stop and was able to still the waves just by His command. That is God in His transcendence in display. But yet, at the same time, Jesus was often found dining with sinners, fellowshipping with people like you and I. So you see now that both God is both transcendent in His sovereignty over the elements, but yet He's also immanent in His presence amongst His people. So this morning, when we come before Him, as we come before Him in worship, and in fact, even in your own private times of worship, when you do so, we need to be fully conscious of these two concepts, or rather these two aspects of God's presence, His transcendence and His immanence. We need to remember that we are coming before the high and exalted sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when we do that, of course, we come with reverence and we come with respect. I'm going to give you an example of what it means to come before a person or a place with respect and reverence. And it is an experience that I have personally daily in my work. Right? As a judge, the courtroom prepares itself before I enter it. So before a court session starts, the people will start streaming into the courtroom. The prosecutors, the lawyers, of course the accused persons, the families, the friends, and of course, we also have members of the public coming in to observe proceedings. All this will take place before the actual time set for the court hearing. pretty much similar to how everybody is streaming into for service this morning. Right? And of course, before service starts, you sit around, you chit-chat, you have discussions and all that. And all that takes place in the courtroom as well. But when it comes to the time for the session to start, my court officer will make sure that everybody is ready, and then she will let me know that, sir, the court is ready for you. And before I enter, I will press a buzzer, and the moment everybody hears that buzzer, everything falls silent. Every discussion, every conversation, every activity has to stop because the judge is entering the courtroom. I'll enter the courtroom, I'll face the everybody, and of course I'll take a bow, they take a bow back, and from that moment onwards, nobody speaks a word without the judge's permission. That's what it means to come in respect and in reverence. Of course, they are not doing so because of who I am. They are doing so because of what I represent, right? Which is the law of the land, the system of justice of the country. But it's the same when we come before God. We come before Him with respect, with reverence. But too often, our posture when we come before God, right, tends to be a little bit too casual, isn't it? Right, we come, we are relaxed, we are chill. I'm not for a moment saying that that's totally wrong and we should all come in fear and trembling, because that is not who our God is. And I certainly do not believe that that casualness is a reflection of an absence or lack of respect, you know, and reverence for the Lord. I don't think so. I have no doubt that every one of us here hold great respect for the Lord. We love Him. We honor Him. We want to honor Him. And that's why we are here. Rather, I believe that the casualness is probably due to the fact of this intimacy that we have come to be familiar with the Lord. We've come to expect a God who loves us for who we are, who accepts us conditionally, who understands us, and who knows us intimately. And so, when we come into the presence of someone like that, it's very easy and it's very natural for us to be relaxed, right? And that relaxed mindset and attitude sometimes come across in our casualness. There is nothing wrong with that, but of course we need to balance that, you know, with the fact that we're not just coming before the presence of a friend. We're not even just coming before the presence of a celebrity, you know, or an eminent figure. We are coming before God. Our great King, our Lord and Father in heaven. So let's not forget that. So as much as we come before the Lord just as we are, we should also come before Him with the attitude of respect and reverence. And there are many ways we can express that. And it's not just through our behavior as well. You know, in this church, we don't have any emphasis on dress code. I'm just using that as an example. Some of you, be it your previous church or some other background that you have, you may be aware that in certain churches, there are very strict dress codes, right? For example, I do know that there are some churches where ladies are still expected to wear, you know, like a veil to cover the head. You know, we don't have that. In fact, we allow everyone to just come in whatever is comfortable for you. But I would just like to encourage everyone to just include this aspect, right, as part of our respect and reverence for the Lord through the way we dress. You know, in the courtroom example that I give you, you know, if you turn up in singlet and shorts and slippers, it's very likely that the mata will not allow you to enter. You know, they say you wait outside. Yeah. Right. It's nothing to do with, you know, the courtroom being snooty or what. It's just that there is a certain level of respect, right, that every one of us ought to have. Right. And so it's the same for us when we come into God's presence. I think there's a certain level of respect that we can express, not just through our attitude, not just through our behavior, not just through our singing, but also through, you know, how we present ourselves before the Lord. Right? And I'm just going to leave it at that. I know it can be very sensitive, you know, talking about dressing. Right? And please, I'm not saying that we should all come dressed to the nines. Right? We should just come in an attire that is not just I wear whatever I want. I wear whatever I'm comfortable. It's more than that. It's, I want to be appropriately dressed to come before the Lord. Okay, and what is appropriately dressed? Well, I'm sure you all know what that is. If you don't know, you just look at the elders. You look at SP, right? It'll give you a sense. Okay. All right, so that's the part about dressing. Now, the other part I want to talk about is, I'm still at the immanent presence of the Lord. Is this, you know, sometimes when we come before in worship, and especially here, we have good music, we have a good atmosphere, you know, and sometimes your emotions start to, you know, stir and all that. And some of you may be thinking, is this just an emotional experience? It feels a little bit similar to the concert that I attended last week. Right? And I'm speaking from personal experience because I've attended a couple of concerts in the past few years with my daughter. Okay. And the atmosphere is such that I actually felt the emotion stirring within me. You know, and I can understand why the people, the concert goers, they were screaming and some were even crying and all that. Because the atmosphere just encouraged and fostered that kind of response and that reaction. And I feel myself, wow, you know, feeling that this is so good, even though I don't understand, you know, what is being sung. They're mostly in Korean and I don't understand at all. Right? So is it the same thing? When we come here, you know, good music, good environment, and then your emotional response, is it the same as that, you know, that happens in a concert? Well, let me tell you what's the difference. You see, when you go for a pop concert, you get an emotional high. It's all good. But after that, you get what a lot of them call the post-concert blues. You know, where after that high is the emptiness. There's nothing left. But when you come before the Lord, when you come into His presence, something much deeper happens. When you come before the Lord, change is taking place. Transformation is taking place. Healing is taking place. Ministry is taking place. If you have been troubled by whatever that is going on in your life, when you come into the presence of the Lord and you experience His peace, that's what you need. And this transformation and this change is not just for the moment. It stays with you the next day, the next week, the next month, and even the next year. And as you keep coming into His presence and you keep experiencing Him, you keep allowing God to touch you, to heal you, to comfort you, to change you. That's how you move from your old self to the new. You understand what I'm saying here? It is so vital to come into the presence of the Lord. It is so vital to experience His presence, to allow Him to touch you in a way that nobody else can. So this morning, whatever condition you may be in, maybe you are troubled, maybe you're stressed out, maybe you're worried, come into His presence. We've just started this morning. I know some of us are still wading carefully in the waters. Some of you, maybe you are just at ankle level, some at knee level, some at waist level, but this morning, let's wade further. Let's wade deeper. Let's come completely into His presence until we are totally submerged in His presence. Amen? Amen? That's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to come before the Lord as who we are. We're going to draw near. And I'm just going to wrap up by answering the question that I posed right at the beginning. Right? What does it mean to enter into God's presence? And what does it mean to usher in God's presence? Do the two ideas contradict? I don't think they contradict each other. We enter into God's sovereign transcendent presence. That's not difficult to understand. But when we say we are ushering into God's presence, what we are really saying is we are inviting our immanent God to come into our hearts, to come into our lives. And that's what we mean. That's what the worship leader means. You know, when he or she says, let's usher in God's presence. It's not just ushering in God's presence into the auditorium, but it's ushering God's presence into your hearts. So this morning, as we continue to worship, I want every one of us to do just that. Let's ushering God's presence into our hearts. Shall we do that? Can I just invite everyone to rise to your feet? We're going to worship the Lord again. And I'll hand this time back to James.
So, church, we're going to go into a time of extended worship. And I just want to invite everybody, you know, now to just quiet down your hearts. And, you know, use this time of worship as a time of response to God. You know, indeed, that God's presence is here. His imminent presence is here. He's dwelling in our midst. He wants to meet with His people. And let's just take this moment and just enjoy His presence for a bit.
Oh,
church, the chorus of this song sings, Jesus is our reward and our prize. You know, I don't know you guys, as you come in here with all different things, what we think it should be about. But you know, at the end of the day, it is all about spending time with God. It's all about being with the Father, being with Jesus, the time with Him. That's all that matters. Indeed, that as we spend time with Him, everything will fade away. He is the reward. He is the prize. The one that we chase after. The one that we find fulfillment in. Nothing else matters.
Lord, Your presence is all. It's all that I want, Jesus. There's nothing more than You. You're the reward. You are the prize. Inhabit my whole life, and know Your presence is all. It's all that I want.
And the angels sing.
Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to praise the Lord with you.